Wild Futures Initiative, this is a briefing. Raquel, I'll turn it over to you.
All right. Get a hot cup of coffee.
All right. Morning, Mr. Chair and members of the commission. I'm Raquel, your legislative liaison, and your designated Wild Futures chairman.
So working on some of our slogans and cheers, but so I'm here today to give you an update on the Wild Future Initiative. I'm going to talk through what we heard during our listening sessions last fall, tell you a little bit about how we're turning those ideas into a package, and then going to talk a little bit about what we have planned in terms of outreach for this summer. As you all know, the Wild Future Initiative was really spearheaded by Director Unsworth. It's intended to strengthen our ties with our customers and ensure that our programs and services are meeting their needs. And I want to invite Director Unsworth to jump in at any point during this presentation to add to anything I'm saying. So last fall, we launched the initiative by hosting 7 listening sessions throughout the state. We also launched an online feedback system, which gathered over 2,500 public comments. Since then, we've been working hard to digest all of that feedback and kind of repackage it and retool it into a vision for the future of our agency. And our work is far from done. This summer, we're going to double back with all of our public, hosting another 6 public outreach meetings to revise, sharpen our pencils, kind of help set some priorities around our package. So what did we hear? We heard a lot about shared values. We heard from the hunting community, especially in Southwest Washington, concerns about declining recreational access on private lands. We heard from anglers a common complaint that our rules are too complex. And we heard a loud outcry of support for increased enforcement officers out ensuring that our species are being protected and that there's public safety on our lands. Some of the ideas we heard during our listening sessions were simpler to put into action than others, and we got right to work on those items. These are some of the things we're already working on. We're really excited to let you know that we're hard at work updating our fishing pamphlet, and we're making some website improvements so folks can get to those simpler rules quicker and easier. And we're also getting started on developing a mobile fishing app. Some of the ideas we heard were longer term in nature and are going to require some new resources in order to achieve. So with help from our partners and our citizen advisory committees, we've started to kind of shape these ideas, and we've come up with these 4 themes that we've packaged the ideas into. I'm going to walk through each of these briefly, but want to also offer to each of you commissioners that we're available and willing to do a deeper dive at a later date for anyone who wants to get into the nitty-gritty detail of these proposals. So on conservation, we've built on ideas we heard about the need to focus on habitat restoration with new investments, promote more conservation on private lands, further enforce laws that protect species and their habitats, and seek full payments of PILT, payment in lieu of taxes. And on the wildlife side, we've developed our proposal around comments we heard to increase monitoring of wildlife health and disease, promote wildlife watching and other non-traditional forms of recreation. We're doing that by developing a long-term strategy and seeking both state and federal support for that. We're also thinking through some ideas on how to increase our use of volunteers in our wildlife areas and on monitoring, and also developing some ideas around increasing investments in the protection of critical habitat areas. On the fishing side, we heard support for expanding fishing opportunities, supporting commercial fisheries, restoring fish habitat, and increasing our enforcement presence. And we've developed a proposal which will increase the agency's investment in these areas and in turn increase production, improve in-season forecasting, and expand our customers through recruitment, which is exciting. We also heard a ton of comments around increasing production wherever possible. And these are some of the facilities we've identified so far, both at the staff level and with the help from our public advisors, which might be able to help us support increased production with some minor upgrades. On the hunting side, we heard about the need to increase access on private lands, develop a mobile hunting app, develop more target shooting ranges, and conserve key game species. An exciting piece of our proposal is that we're working on some incentives for private timberland owners so we can try to expand access there. There's been a lot of interest from our public, but also from the legislature in trying to crack that nut. So we hope this proposal will help fix that. The package we've developed with the ideas we heard from the public makes up over $60 million in new investments. We realize this is a big lift, but we think it's doable with the support of our public and our customers. We're proposing to fund this work through a combination of general tax dollars and user fees. As you heard from Heath earlier, we think the goal of seeking general fund is complicated. It's challenging this coming year with McCleary, but we think it's really important for this package to be able to demonstrate that our work really benefits the greater public in Washington. And so we need to make sure that that's clearly in our proposal going forward. The rest of the package will be funded through license fee increases, and we're developing ideas around that. The proposal has identified $26 million over the next biennium that would come in through license fee revenues. The last fee increase, as you'll recall, was back in 2010. And since then, inflation has caught up to us, and we need to right-size our budget by around $7 million to start. Some of the principles we hope to be able to achieve with our fee proposal are helping our fees more accurately reflect the cost of managing some of those more expensive species. So we heard through comments that folks maybe that are trout fishing or hunting don't necessarily want to be subsidizing salmon fishing. So we're trying to work out that through the package. We also want to work on recruitment and promote youth and senior license sales, so keeping the prices low for those folks. And we really want to maintain competitiveness. We don't want our prices to go much higher than our neighboring states. We want to keep people coming to Washington to fish and hunt. So this is what we're looking at high level in the proposal. It brings in 26 in new revenue, which will help fill that gap caused by inflation. It'll expand fishing opportunities. It'll upgrade hatcheries, protect habitat, and improve hunting access and opportunities. And this is what it looks like to the customer. This is the most important part here. The fishing side's on the left and the hunting side's on the right. As you'll see, the saltwater and freshwater fishing licenses wouldn't increase a whole heck of a lot. The major increase is actually going to be through the catch record cards, the introduction of charging for salmon, steelhead, and sturgeon catch record cards. On the hunting side, licenses are proposed to increase by 10% across the board. And not on this slide, but being developed are commercial fee license proposals as well. We're working with some of our advisory groups on those as we speak, and we'll get back to you with those proposals. Again, these prices, we really wanted to model them off of other states. So the fishing and hunting licenses you see here are still cheaper than Oregon's, which is really important to us. So clearly we aren't done with the initiative yet. While we've made some headway meeting with key partners and advisory committees, we have a lot more outreach planned for this summer, and this is the calendar of upcoming events. In early August, we're going to be going back out to hold another round of public meetings, and we hope all of you can attend one or two of those. And then we'll be coming back to the commission in August with our usual, this is what we're going forward with in terms of legislative proposals for 2017. And then in September, our agency requests legislation due to the governor's office. And then we'll, once we get approval from them, we'll be going back out to our stakeholders to see what support we can get for this package going forward. And just a reminder of what's at stake here, as I mentioned earlier, the agency is operating under a significant structural deficit due to compounding effects, inflation, and also with declining public funds for our work. On top of that, the governor's office and OFM has warned us that we should be ready for another 10 to 15% general fund cut exercise. We're being prudent. We're starting to work through what that might look like. We've started to paint a picture of that, and it's not pretty. It would involve staffing cuts across all programs, it would involve potential hatchery closures, and a decline in agency-supported recreational activities throughout the state. So that's a reality we really don't want to have occur, and so we're going to be fighting hard to avoid that reality. But we know that we'll need the support of our customers to be successful in that regard. So this summer's outreach efforts are going to be absolutely critical, and we hope to have your guys' support getting out there and talking to our customers. And I just, before I ask for questions from you folks, want to direct your attention to, we have developed a web page on the Wild Future Initiative where we have developed some draft fact sheets if you want to look into the details of the fee proposals and some of the packages. It's all on there. And we also have a Facebook page now where we're going to be putting information about our public meetings and some key documents. With that, I'll wrap it up. Any questions for me?
Thank you, Raquel. Questions, Commission?
Not so much a question, just an observation. It's I don't know what the answer is, but over the years since the Great Recession, we've been facing budget cut after budget cut after budget cut. So the idea of another 10% reduction in our state general funds, nothing new, still like it's been for the past, what, 6-8 years now. And we know that the McCleary decision solution has not been reached yet. So it's still an incredibly difficult climate to ask for big money. And over the past, I'd say, 4 years, 4 or 5 years, we've been extremely modest in what we've requested. Very oriented towards not futile exercises in asking for the moon when we know that the climate just is not right. And as a result, we've been very successful in the past several legislative sessions in getting just about everything we've asked for. So the strategy of, you know, setting a larger, more ambitious agenda, you know, I'm not saying it's wrong, because that's what we all want. That's what the citizens say they want. And the way to get support is to speak up for what you want. So I'm not saying that it's wrong. It's just really different from the way we've been going for the past several years. And we will bump into those realities eventually. But I think setting an ambitious agenda, you know, will have its pros and cons. And if we disappoint people, now that we've gotten them to articulate their expectations, their aspirations, and if we are not able to deliver much, does that put us in a worse situation or a better one? I don't know. So I'm not saying that I know the solution. It's been, oh, and one other observation, too, is that in the past, in 2010, when we asked for that increase, we also found little ways to reduce fees and some licenses or permits. So there was a kind of effort to rebalance, and I think that was a pretty wise thing to do, because it tempered the pain.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And we are looking at, I mentioned, but I don't think I talked in detail about the reducing the fee for senior and youth fishing licenses. That's one of our ads this year. We do want to focus on recruitment. So we're bringing the age of discount for seniors down to 65, consistent with hunting licenses. And then we're reducing the license fee for youth as well and extending it so that we can hopefully keep young people fishing longer and really hook them.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, Commissioner, it's never easy to go to our constituents again, back to the well, and ask for more money. And that's where we find ourselves. The Wild Futures initiative has involved lots of public outreach and will continue throughout this summer. We responded with a budget package in response to what the public has told us so far, what they would like the department to look like into the future. I think that everybody knows that big improvements or actually continued operation at the same level but with enhancements is going to cost money. Inflation's out there and recognized by all. And so I think it's very important that we acknowledge that. And if our constituents and the public in general want to see us have a healthy and statewide presence to support fish and wildlife, then I think we all know that those that benefit probably should pay. There are some constituents out there, and it's certainly been recognized by the hunting and fishing community, that maybe aren't paying their fair share, and I think that we need to address that and work with them into the future. That's a more difficult problem. There's some things on the national level that I think are going to, I'm hoping, will bear fruit in the future, and we'll be tapping into that, certainly. I agree that sportsmen and women are, our fees are expensive, and they're expensive for a family. And it's not unlike if you decide you're going to be a family that skis, it's a big expense to do that. If you're going to be a family that plays golf, it's going to be a big expense to do that. If you're a family that's form of recreation is hunting and fishing, it's pretty expensive to do that. I think we all, many or myself and lots of us, grew up in a time when it was very inexpensive to hunt and fish, and that's the kind of thing you did if you couldn't pay for those other things. So anyway, it's an interesting conversation we're having with our traditional users right now, and I expect some pushback. We saw that with the Game Management Advisory Group the other day a little bit, but after we had good conversations with them, they all understand that it's expensive to operate the kind of statewide program we do and to produce the opportunities that we do around the state. We have more people in the state of Washington that want to recreate and go out and have a great day of fishing than we have resource to produce them in many cases. I took my grandsons out fishing two nights ago to a local lake, and we were able to, if you take kids out, everybody knows that they need some success, or it becomes a boring thing instead of a fun thing. But we were able to go out, and in a couple of hours, we put a half a dozen catchable trout in the cooler, lots of screams and squeals and lots of fun. And for me, that I knew how much that cost because I'm so close to the program. And it was worth every penny of it when I thought about what a great afternoon I had with my grandchildren and how that's going to stick in their minds probably the rest of their lives. And so I'm really proud of our programs and our people and the products that we produce. And I'm looking forward to this summer and talking to sportsmen about supporting the department into the future. So thanks, Raquel. It was a good presentation.
Awesome. Thank you.
You know, when universities are faced with budget issues, sometimes they look to another market, out-of-state students or out-of-country. And when I'm thinking, this is an attractive state, we all know this, for all of the abundant natural resources. And Washington's wild future is a nice tagline, and maybe this is something that Bruce knows more about, linking up with some of this, that, and I don't know how well Washington markets Washington, but I think linking with whatever part is doing that, you know, we could have them lift some of our baggage too, because if we're part of the marketing plan, and even if we could get that tagline, Washington's Wild Future, is part of marketing Washington, then it, you know, things like that develop, because there is a whole other world. I was just on the East Coast a while ago, and people were talking about, boy, I'd love to come out to Washington someday to, you know, salmon or whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. And there's a market there, and I know other states market themselves well. Maybe I'm just not watching the right vehicle, what it is that's marketing Washington, but yeah. I just throw that out.
I think that's a great point. One response I would say to that is we definitely are looking at fee increases for out-of-state licenses as well. And I know Bruce is working on some of the marketing strategy and how we do better promotion of our opportunities here in Washington to make sure that we're not only coming out with the fee, but also getting more customers as well. We need
a national campaign that has as a tagline Washington's Wild Future has some oomph. You know, because you could build off of that in a lot of different ways.
Definitely. And I don't want to leave on a dismal note. You know, this is a little bit of doom and gloom at the end, but we have been hearing some really positive feedback as well from legislators and legislative staff that if we can fill up hearing rooms and get support around this idea that this could be successful. So I don't want to be negative. I think there's a lot of potential here, and we're very excited to be moving this initiative
and
forward.
And the watchable stuff, we shouldn't the poll or the survey that I just read this week, that 80-some percent favor, you know, the reintroduction of grizzlies and that, you know, whether a person will ever see one is, probably not. But that can attract people out. You know,
a huge, huge untapped audience, I think, there. So we're working on that as well.
Okay, well, we'll happy to help you whenever.
Excellent. Thanks, you guys.
Mr. Chairman, one other small point. Commissioner Wecker asked me about this morning. This cake is not cooked. It's still in the works, and we're looking forward to commissioner input. The package, I'm sure, will look different when we present it to the legislature than it does today, and I'm very confident it'll look different when it comes out of the legislature than when it goes in. But I'm really proud of our resources and proud of the people that do the work for them. And I think people want a healthy Fish and Wildlife Department, and it's our responsibility to make sure we can do that for them.
Thank you. Yes, Commissioner.
I have to say one more thing. To give a little bit of feedback, I suppose, when we talk about, I think we need to have a good storyline, a good explanation for people of how we got into this situation, how we, the society, got into this situation where we need to ask for a significant amount of new funding. And I'm thinking, when I heard that, I think the director referred to inflation as one of the reasons. I have to say my reaction to that was, wait a second, inflation has been extremely low in this country for years now, since the recession. I mean, we're sort of in a deflationary period. So I don't quite, I just feel like we need more depth to the explanation. I think it has to do with shifts in funding sources, the decline in federal funding, the way in which we've had to shift some of our staff onto grants, which don't last forever, the depletion of the wildlife account. You know, so there's a lot of historic reasons for why we are in a deep hole right now. And I don't think it's going to be sufficient to attribute it to inflation.
Right.
That's a general term. And I, just more precision, I think, is needed.
I think that's a good point. And when we talk about inflation, we're not necessarily talking about inflation the way the general public might use the term. We're talking about the cost of fish food going up. We're talking about the cost of utilities going up. We're talking about the legislature finally putting cost of living adjustments out there. And so the cost of doing business for the department is on the rise. And our fee structure hasn't supported that, so the gap is growing. But I think it's a good point. Thank you.
I think that will help clarify. Thank you.
Is that it?
Yep.
Thank you, Raquel. Okay. And we're